the beast. Who is able to make war with him?
May 2022, 27th of May, holiday weekend begins for those who keep the Memorial Day and get out, do things or whatever, and get some time off of work on Monday, maybe. A lot of people do get Monday off for Memorial Day weekend holiday. So welcome to the program tonight. We're going to go up, open up with some news, and then we will get into God's special word for us tonight, even if many people might be traveling or doing other things, I understand, but they can listen later and still get it. It'll still be up in the archive, as are all of the 400 and something messages that we have done. They're all up and available at any time if you want to go listen to them. And so we appreciate you, and the Lord bless you, and we're going to open up in some news here. Biden's WHO amendments, WHO, World Health Organization, removed. Thank God. That would have given up the United States sovereignty if that had gone through. But it didn't. It was removed. So thank God for that. We'll keep it for now, what little sovereignty we have left. And per the Biden administration, those schools must put boys in girls' bathroom to get federal lunch money. Also, males who claim to be female must have access to all female private spaces, such as showers, sleeping areas, et cetera, et cetera. And male staff must also be allowed to dress as women while they are on the job if they want to. hey, get your children out of a government school system. You're throwing them to the dogs, man. You're throwing them to the wolves. Get them out of there. I tell you, I wouldn't, if I had children at home, I would have put them in there. And when we did have children at home, we did not put them in there. And so just a word of wisdom. It's already hard enough for these young people to grow up in this wicked world and not be influenced by the outside. Some of you know that. I can give you many accounts of parents putting their children in the government school system and the colleges that are ungodly and them turning away from the Lord. Some are still turned away to this day. And that is just sad and tragic that such a thing is the case. But pray for those children, those young people who grew up in those school systems that have been programmed, brainwashed by the lies and the deceptive teachings that go on there. Bill Gates funnels hundreds of millions of dollars to leftist organization to sink Twitter if Elon Musk restores free speech. That's right. No free speech, says Gates. That's right. We must continue with the lies and the propaganda and what they want to tell you. The ungodly want to tell you and what they want to program you with. That's what they want. And while Hollywood preacher and filmmaker Devon Franklin says that he was recruited as a celebrity expert for the hit show Married at First Sight, despite the shame of his recent divorce, I guess it doesn't matter that he just went through a recent divorce. So what a good example, right? Hey, why such a... I mean, really, the man just got divorced, okay? Why such compromise? Okay to divorce now and still be a preacher? And I guess so. I guess that the Bible, I realize it could be divorce, biblical divorces, if the spouse is unfaithful or if the unbelieving depart. The Bible says let them depart. Don't try to force them to stay. But if he married for the divorce for other reasons, which from what I understand he did. But anyway, Nancy Pelosi receives communion and speaks out against Catholic Archbishop in California who banned her from receiving communion because of her beliefs about abortion and promoting abortion. Well, sure, you can find some compromising preacher or priest, that is, to give her communion. They'll give it to anyone with money and power that can promote them. I mean, there's always going to be someone who compromises in this world. So, hey, yeah, somebody will just go ahead. Oh, well, it doesn't matter that she believes in abortion and supports abortion, kills baby, wants to kill baby, has blood on her hands and all that. But it doesn't matter. We'll just go ahead and let her have communion. It doesn't matter. Yeah, well, what's wrong here in Arizona? The Department of Education promotes chat room for students to talk about gender sexuality for minor children and provides them with LGBT-themed chat rooms where they can go without their parents even knowing about it. Oh, yeah, get all the children perverted at a young age. They don't know what gender they are, even though it's obviously what they are, what they were born with, huh? Yeah, well, what a world, huh? An older woman, they called her an elderly woman, but she's not too elderly at 69, but she was 69, and she was found after a week missing. She was found out in the woods, the thick woods, singing in the woods, sitting on the stump of a tree. When they found her, she was singing Amazing Grace in the Virginia woods. And she was in dense woods, less than a mile from her home, yet evidently she did not know the way home. And so her family said that she is in the beginning stages of dementia. Well, at least she got found. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I remember chasing out through the woods to find my mother when she got dementia, and she went out in the woods, took off, got out of the house. We tried everything to keep her in the house. We were taking care of her, and we did our best to keep her in the house, but she one time got out of more than once she got out, but this time she went way out in the woods before we realized. And so we went out there and hunted her down, brought her home. She's just walking around and wandering around in the woods. Oh, Lord, have mercy on these people who get to have to deal with that dementia or that Alzheimer's. Sad thing. It doesn't mean they've lost their salvation. It just means that they were attacked mentally in their mind. And it could be generational curse. It could be just a mental attack. And somehow they got into it, or they were eating the wrong things. And aluminum supposedly makes you're cooking in aluminum pans. I've read and heard that that can cause dementia. And a lot of sugar can cause dementia. And anyway, a pastor wins 71% of the vote in North Carolina House. He was running for House in the primaries. And so this pastor, I forget his name, something Jackson, of Beulah Baptist in Bennett, Lane's American Reversal Project, has recruited over 50 pastors in the state of North Carolina to run for office. Good for them. I mean, you know, get involved and stand up for righteousness. If the Lord leads, that is. I mean, not everybody's going to be politicians, obviously, but these men and women are getting involved. On a viral video, AOC makes a feeble attempt to justify abortion through woke friendly religious talk. Right. Woke friendly religious talk, you know, unsaved religious talk, right? That's what we're talking about there, that is absolutely non-convincing to anybody who has any sense or anybody who has a Lord that knows anything at all. Right. Yet persecution goes on to the true Christian throughout the world, and some countries worse than others, like Libya, Muslims who are getting saved in great numbers, in spite of tremendous persecution from authorities and from their family, disowning them and persecuting them. And yet they are serving Jesus in this perilous time there in their country where they are being greatly persecuted. And other Muslim countries also persecute people who come to Christ, like Iran and a number of other ones. So pray for them. Undergird them with prayer. Bless them in Jesus' name, that the Lord will take care of those new Christians, even though they're under heavy persecution there. Good news, a university in Ohio has agreed to pay $400,000 to a professor who declined to address a male student with female pronouns and was punished for it. The university punished him for it severely and called his faith racism. That's right, his faith in God. He was a Christian, this professor, and they called his faith in God racism and punished him. And so this professor was bold. I mean, he got bold and he sued him for that. And they're paying him $400,000 plus court costs. And, you know, it's demonic what goes on in a lot of these places today, how they're given over to darkness. These schools, these places of supposedly greater learning, I call a lot of it lower learning, not greater, because they don't teach about Jesus. And they don't teach about the Word of God in those secular universities. So what are they doing? Programming. And you get some training and some things, but what do you have to go through to get it? Yeah, a lot of pressure on your faith in the Lord to reject it and walk away from it, or just, you know, be a closet Christian. Not be able to say anything. Anyway, that's the news for today. There's a lot more going on. That Hunter Biden laptop is getting ready to be revealed by this person who is hiding in Switzerland for protection from the Biden administration, supposedly, and they're going to be released publicly, a lot of it. And anyway, we'll see if it happens. That could happen. And we're just glad that WHO didn't get its way with the United States so far. Pray, continue to pray against that wickedness, that we can remain a sovereign nation somewhat. Like I said, it's still not a free nation as long as evil is trying to rule the nation. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we pray for this nation, Father. We thank you for the victories that we do gain, and we rebuke the enemy who's trying to sell us into bondage and sell out the country and do bad things for the country. We pray against this monkeypox scare and all that, and how that's going to try to be used against the population again to continue medical tyranny and the pandemic of another sort. And it's ongoing things, and we rebuke them in Jesus' name. We rebuke the enemy and the lies of darkness and how they want to bring so many into death, and they hate righteousness. Lord, we pray against that. We pray for righteous government. We pray for turnaround in this government, in this country, that God will raise up godly leaders, and godly leaders will allow people to practice their Christianity in holy boldness and not being ashamed or afraid. And they can be bold in Jesus, Father. And we pray for renewal in this country, awakening, a great awakening where people will wake up and come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for people getting born again in this hour, Lord. Thank you for revival, renewal, awakening, Father. Thank you, Lord, for moving and blessing those who are on the front line, Father. All of us who fight these battles, Father, and those who are out there in the very public front line, too, such as Sean Fuchs and his going city to city, being bold as the lion in the streets for you, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Bless his ministry. Protect him and others like him, and Lord, and for Pastor in Kentucky, I believe, or is it Tennessee? Yeah, him. Bless him too. Greg Locke, yeah, that's his name. Greg Locke and other pastors that are on the front line too. Bless them in Jesus' name, Lord, and bless the deliverance ministers too, Father, as they fight the good fight of faith and cast out demons and boldly in Jesus' name and are unafraid to confront, Lord, and just bless our little online gathering here tonight, the online preaching of the word, gospel service, whatever you want to call it, Father, but just bless it, Lord. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you for spiritual breakthroughs for those who listen to this program, Father, for deliverance and change in their lives, Father. Thank you for fresh oil, fresh anointing on them. And we thank you for the anointing to share the word tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're moving mightily, Father. And we give you the glory. And, Lord, we're just living in expectation of greater signs and wonders of miracles in these latter days, Father. We just believe for them, Lord. We thank you for more healing, Father. We pray for those who are sick right now. A number of people dealing with sickness right now. A number of people that I know of and know personally are struggling with things in their body. We just rebuke the things in their body, Father. And we pray for health and healing, Father. We thank you for turning things around for those that have even felt like they're at the door of death at times, Father. We rebuke that death off of them and pray they'll live and not die, Father, in the name of Jesus. And speak to their bodies and say, be healed, bodies, in Jesus' name. We intercede for them, pray for them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you said in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, Father. We thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for health in our bodies, Lord. Health and healing both, Father. We praise you for that. We praise you for victory in the area of our physical health, Father, in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the death and the destruction of demons and sickness devils, infirmity devils. We rebuke them in Jesus' name. And cover all of us with the blood of Jesus here tonight, in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that sickness is a weapon too. And we just declare it will not prosper, will not take hold in Jesus' name. We praise you for that. Praise you, Lord, as we commit this time totally to you and give you all the praise, all the glory. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. All right, are you ready? I'm going to take off into this message tonight. and see what the Lord is going to do, what he's going to say, and what he's going to speak here tonight. Whom am I really is the title. Whom am I really? You know, a lot of difficult things have been going on lately, right? And we've seen it. We've been a part of it. We faced it. We may not have touched this personally, but in some way it probably has, because everybody's been buying gas to get around, get to work, and get home. And yeah. And so it is a crisis situation in the United States of America. It is a chaotic situation here, and not just here, but other countries too. But, you know, it's one thing to pray according to God's will once we have received it and have a word from him and everything's going good. But how many of you have experienced time when it seems like God is silent? You know, during this pandemic, perhaps he's been silent with you through all this. We haven't, you know, we've heard some words from the Lord. I know a lot of them weren't God, but some of them have been, and thank God for that. But we've heard a lot of people giving words from the Lord, and some were God, some weren't, is what I'm saying. But how can we pray according to his will when he hadn't even told us what his specific will is? Yeah, you don't know what his will is, eh? And you're flying in the dark, right? You're just out there, just what is the will of God? Yeah. And you think that that could be a difficult situation, even a crisis situation, if you don't know the will of God? Could some of you be in a crisis situation because you don't know or have a clue what God is saying to you right now? Maybe you haven't heard anything. Maybe you've never heard any direction or leading from God. If you haven't, it's time you start hearing that. And it's the time you ask for it. See? But, you know, we're a people who want to know the future. You know, for centuries, humankind has sought ways to know, you know, what the future is going to be. What do we do? Where do we go? Whom do we trust? And how do we do it all? And what's the direction I should go in life? And, you know, and we have, the people at the other end of the telephone sometimes that tell us what to do. And sometimes people even pay. I think they're still doing that, too. They're paying these 900 numbers to get somebody to tell them what to do. And yet those people at the other end of the phone line don't even know what to do in their own lives. And we have fortune tellers, horoscopes, and psychiatrists, and counselors that people pay and spend a lot of money to go to, and internet advisors and root workers, and, you know, doing the cards, tarot card people, and all this stuff. Try to find out what the future is and what to do in their life and what the will is, what's the best thing to do, you know. And Christians are not exempt from this curiosity about the future either. I mean, we spend thousands to support these prophecy guys, right, and prophecy gals, so that they can write books and make movies about being left behind way back there, and they've been making them ever since about the rapture thing. And, which, again, that's, I don't believe that Jesus is coming in a secret rapture, catching away, and then everybody's left to go through a horrible tribulation. No, that's not in the Bible. But that some people trying to twist it and say it is, but, and some people say the falling away is the catching away, the rapture, and that's not true either. Again, there is going to be a real falling away, and that's what the Bible teaches. So anyway, that's, and even Christians read their horoscope, some of them. And I remember, never forget this woman that I talked to, a Christian woman, and she's telling me how she wants to be hypnotized and to get rid of some habit of overeating or something. And she's a Christian. What are you doing? You put yourself in subjection to demons. And yet she just had to tell me about that and thought it was okay and cool. And while it's not okay and it's not cool and it's dangerous because you open a door to demons, poor gal, she just picked up devils. And so, yeah, Christians do what they can to find things out, right? And they pay for prophets to come to their churches and give them a word about their futures. And many times those words are not even accurate. They're fleshly given words, even though some prophets are giving true words from heaven, and that's good. And I've given them words too and have been true words from heaven. But yeah, They want a word directly from God because they couldn't seem to hear God without getting some prophet to give them a word, right? Because we need to learn to hear from God ourselves, right? Don't you think? I mean, listen, when we're in the middle of a difficult situation, people want to know why. They want to know what to do. They want to know what we've done to get in to deserve such a mess that we got in. And how many know that you don't often do anything to deserve it? You're just in there because you've been attacked by the enemy. I mean, know that people get attacked by the enemy and they just try to figure out, well, what did I do wrong? You know, when you didn't do anything wrong, you just walk it uprightly in God and the enemy attacks. And you got to resist him and to tell him he's bound and cast him out of the situation. But still, you get attacked sometimes just because you're doing everything right, not because you're doing a bunch wrong. But people want to know what they've done to get into this mess and deserve the mess they're in. And, you know, often there's a reason for God's silence when we cry out for a word from God in these situations and circumstances and difficulties of life. There may be a reason. It may be a growth process, or he may want you to actually spend more time with him and get into prayer more and seek his face so that you can hear from heaven. You know, a lot of people never spend any time except when they get in trouble. Then they get all upset and worried and try to get in touch with God when they're having a rough time or in a crisis situation, and then they want a little help. Well, let's read the first scripture today, Ecclesiastes 8, verses 2 through 4. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment and that in regard of the oath of God. And that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? So, what do we just read? He doesn't want us to be in such a hurry to leave the king's presence. In other words, and a lot of people are. They're in a hurry to get out of the king's presence. But no, we need to stay in the king's presence, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And God will use every persecution and every crises that people get into or that are in for his purpose. He may not have nothing to do with the crises or the situation that people get into, but still he can use it for a purpose to bring people closer to him. But see, our nature makes us want to know what the purpose is, and we want to know now. You know, we don't want to wait. We like microwave things, you know. We got to get it now. And people don't even wait the 5 minutes or 2 minutes for the microwave. I mean, we pray, please, God, tell me what's happening in my future. What will happen so I know if it's worth the pain I'm going through right now, you know. And tell me quick, Lord, because I don't have much time to seek you, you know, today. I got a lot to do. I got to go to meet with so-and-so, feed the dog, feed the bird, whatever. I got to do this, that. I got to get to work. I got to make all these sales or do this, that, the other. You know, I don't have much time, Lord, so quick, tell me. Well, you think you're going to get much when you haven't been spending any time with Jesus anyway? And now you think you're going to you get in a crazy situation and you go, well, hurry up, Lord. Right, hurry up, Lord. Exodus 17, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Uh-oh. Wherefore, what did the people do? Did they cry out to God? No, they chided with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? You know, leave me alone. Let's just pray. Ask the Lord. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us with our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, whereof thou smotest the rivers, take in thine hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Well, hello, what have they just been through? He just parted the sea with the rod, and God parted it. Moses put the rod out, and the sea parted. They went through on dry land, and then it consumed all the Egyptians that were chasing them. Really? And they just chiding Moses, which is really chiding the Lord. You know, that's sad, isn't it? Would no water be a crisis situation, though? Well, you bet it would. I mean, people would die of thirst after 3 days without water. They start dying without water. 3 days is pretty much the limit for a water-only fast. But was God aware of the situation? I mean, again, didn't he just deliver them from the Egyptian bondage and from the Egyptian army? And had he already worked a bunch of miracles? Didn't he just take care of you through this situation and that situation in the past and that difficulty in the past? Didn't he do all that for you already? Well, you think he had got to do it now? But what did they do? It says they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord with us or not? Has he left us? Can he not hear us? What's the problem here, God? You know, and we do the same thing, and we waste a whole lot of time acting, you know, this way and thinking this and that, the other, and forgetting what the Lord has done. You need to put yourself in remembrance of what the Lord has done for you, right? Oh, yeah. Thinking this foolish way that they were. I mean, really. Instead of just waiting patiently, trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your understanding, your own understanding, and exercising their faith in God, your faith in God, what did they do? They didn't do that. They just questioned God's provision. There's no water. So, well, let's just blame God. Let's blame Moses. Let's stone Moses. Yeah, right. Okay? This is ridiculous. But this is the way people still are today. I mean, it hasn't changed. Christians can be this way. You know, blaming God. Some of them get bitter against God. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. Where is God? Why isn't he doing this for me? Psalms 106. Let's read a few more verses here. Psalms 106, 7. It says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. I mean, look at all the things he did and done for them, and yet they're still just provoking him and chiding him. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. And then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel. See, so quickly we forget what he's done for us. But man, he has done so many things for us. Thank God. How soon we forget God's last provision, God's last deliverance for us, God coming through for us last time, God's miracle working power for us. Hey, Israel at the Red Sea were afraid of what was behind them and afraid of what was ahead because it was unknown. And you know, a lot of time Christians are like this today. They get afraid of the future, afraid what's going to get them from the past. And we get like that in a difficult situation. We think God has forgotten us and he left us to die, when really he's given us another opportunity to learn to trust him with all our heart and to love, you know, to have faith and love our God-given faith and have faith in him and to see his mighty hand move on our behalf. Hallelujah. He's given us that opportunity. Instead, what do people do with it? You know, the demons take over and say, where's your God? You know, he left you. You're unworthy. You're this, that, or the other. God's not going to do anything for you. Look at you. You're a mess. And, yeah, you hear all that stuff from the devil, too, right? Psalm 53:5. There were they in great fear when no fear was, for God has put them to shame because God had despised them. Here people are in great fear where no fear is. Don't be in fear where there isn't any fear, right? And yet a lot of people get in that fear when there isn't any fear. Nothing to get worked up about, nothing to fear or to dread, but hey, here you are all worked up in dread and fear. We gotta know some more things here, folks. We gotta wake up. Who are you really? You know, who are you really? Yeah, in reality, we have the mind of Christ. In our spirit, it dwells. Now, it may be undiscovered reality to you, and it may be an undiscovered mind because most believers never or rarely live from and think from the mind of Christ, which is in their spirit, because most of the time they're not thinking spiritually anyway. They're thinking carnally. And so they live mostly carnally. I mean, it's easy to live carnally because we're used to it, right? We were raised carnally, and we could easily divert back to living that way most of the time. And yet, I'm going to tell you something here. There's a lot of rubbish, people, when we live that way. Let's go to Nehemiah 4:10. I'll show you a little something here that's kind of interesting. Nehemiah 4:10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Did you get that? The bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. The word strength here, notice that, the strength of the bearers. It is koash in the Hebrew, meaning power. The power of the bearers is decayed. Folks, listen, we've been given power. Power to build the wall, the power to resist the devil and cast out devils and lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Power to build, power to walk in the straight and narrow, but the power, it says here, is decayed. You think that might be the case today in a lot of situations and circumstances of Christian lives? The power is decayed. It's not there like it should be. So something causes a loss of power. It causes problems. It causes weaknesses. People are being overcome by demons, by the wicked ones, and psyched out of their power, tricked out of their power. They're not victorious today. Why? Why? Rubbish. Not just some rubbish, much rubbish. It says here the rubbish is, there is much rubbish. Decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. We're not able to have our wall, a hedge of protection wall built around us and keep it built around us. Not just one demon, many demons, much rubbish, okay? And God has given us faith, spiritual power, the mind of Christ. Weapons of war to defeat Satan and to build the kingdom of God. But the much rubbish is in the way. The much rubbish. There's been a decay, and there's much rubbish there. Much, much, many, much demons. Yeah. People's rubbish of lust. People's rubbish of pride. People's rubbish of competition. The rubbish of fear. The rubbish of faithlessness. Of laziness. Of infirmities. Of distractedness, of stressfulness, of poverty, the rubbish of debt, of bondage to mammon, and bondage to stuff. There's a lot of rubbish here. A lot of decay that has been taking place. All demonic rubbish and clutter that we carry in our flesh, that no good thing that's making us weak and unable to grow and to build and to walk on the straight and narrow today. How many are really walking in the straight and narrow? I'll tell you, when I was a new Christian, I was hungry for God. And you know what? I fed on the word every day, sometimes for hours at a time. I was excited to be born again, you know? But, you know, I never stopped reading it, though. Like some Christians, you know, they might get a little excited in the beginning when they get born again. They read a little Bible, or some might read a little more than others. Some don't read it much at all. But then what happens? Once they start, you know, being a Christian, they might have start feeding, but they don't keep feeding on his word. You know, and so many that get saved do that. They don't keep feeding on his word, the life source for us. They don't guard their heart. They don't guard their mind, and the thief steals their power, their zeal. They don't go on to know the Lord like they should and learn. Instead, they start perishing, falling by the wayside, giving up to certain areas. Yeah, they don't walk strongly. The enemy steals their zeal. Yeah, bad, isn't it? You know, we need to get the rubbish out, the demons out, so that we can be able to walk in the walk that God called us to walk and stay with it all our lives, not just when you're first a Christian. Oh, I'm excited now. I'm a Christian. And then it just wanes after a few months. And you put your Bible down and gather dust. It doesn't do nothing for you. So, hey, don't let that be your case. I've been hungry for God all my Christian life. I've wanted more of God. All the time that I've been walking with Jesus as a believer, I wanted more. Even though I've suffered attacks by the enemy, I still wanted more of Jesus. And so how is it that so many just get into these comfort zone types of life? And I guess demons lull them to sleep. They're no longer hungry. They no longer have the zeal to want more. I still want more. I got to have more. Okay, so quit making a comfortable home for demons. Make yourself an uncomfortable place for demons to live. Stay in the Word of God. Keep praising God. Rebuke and command those demons to leave, even if they haven't left yet. Put the pressure on them instead of letting them put the pressure on you all the time. Yeah, to let them have their ways with you and expression of themselves. Let them express themselves so easily because you cause you to sin and compromise and continue to let them express their natures of darkness, who and what they are through your body. You know, don't live a decayed life. That's decadent. I mean, that's decayed. When you allow this rubbish to have its way with you. Remember, we're to be strong in the Lord of the power of his might. See, not strong in our might, not our power. Stop the decaying process and get the rubbish out. It's time. So what are you still doing carrying that rubbish around? You know, I watch too many let the rubbish still stay in them, still remain in them. The rubbish that is in them, it just sabotages and brings decay, destruction in their lives. I've watched that happen to many Christians over these many years of pastoring and watching people. So let's deal with that. Let's stop the decay, get rid of the rubbish, and move on. And take that wall up and get it built and get in the presence of God. And so, if God has been silent, if he spoke once, you know what? He'll speak again. So keep believing him that you're going to hear from heaven. Because, hey, he spoke to you before. He'll speak again. Trust him. Get strong. You know, believers need to get strong right now. Hey, we don't know how long a rest period we'll have here, and it's really not a rest time. It's a time for war. But when we do get rest time, you don't know how long it is going to be, and you need to take advantage of the time and get strong in the Lord. Amen. Put on the anointing, teaching and worship and get stronger in Jesus. I mean, really, time is short. Jesus is coming back, folks. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Wow. Did you see that? You hear this and be sure of it. All that the Father is doing in your life is intended to bring about your destiny, to bring you further into your promised land. Just like Israel, there's a promised land of spiritual life for all of us right now that's available. And God wants to bring us into it. God wants to give us more of it. God wants to take us further, deliver us more, and change us more. He's working in us. It's a challenge sometimes, but we need to let it take place, okay? The promised land is not a type of heaven, but it's a type of the richness of the abundant life available to a mature believer in Christ Jesus, one who presses into it, who seeks it, and goes on his march toward the promised land and gets in there and lives there. You know, God opens doors and closes doors, and he does it with a love and a purpose for each one of us when he does that. He'll open a door sometime, and he'll close a door sometime. He'll say no sometimes, he'll say yes, and he'll say later too sometimes. And so when we're in a crisis or we become complaining and discontented, we may very easily forget the love and the purpose behind his action. Or we may see a lack of action and say, where is God? And start chiding God and chiding on some leader or something and blaming them. Or who knows? You know, a lot of things take place when things don't seem to go the way people want them to go, and they live in a crisis situation for any amount of time, a difficult situation. But hey, in this world, we will have tribulation. The Bible says we will have persecution. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we recognize that we're an end-time overcomer because Jesus overcame, and he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome, and if we're in Christ Jesus, then we can overcome too these things. Amen? And are you in Christ Jesus or not? If you're born again, you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? We should be all the time. Okay? All the time. So, and that's why we see some Christians quit. They quit going to church. They quit fellowshipping. And instead of watching Christian stuff, they start watching foolishness and movies. And yeah, I guess they're still having soap operas. I saw the other day that one of them young soap opera stars died of some show, soap opera. I forgot the name of the soap opera, but I read about the little news clip about her dying. And so I guess they're still having those soap operas. I don't know. I wouldn't watch them if I knew they were, but it's ridiculous waste of time. Yeah, and I know a lot of Christians wouldn't miss one. But a lot of those programs on TV are nothing, even if they might be have other stuff going on, they're nothing but a soap opera anyway. But instead of listening to praise and worship, they tune into the oldies but goodies or the rock station or the ungodly music, the satanic music, instead of spending time in the book of God, where the voice of God will speak to them if they just read the book. Because that is God's word to us. They look for the good life and recreation instead of living from the new creation. They want recreation. Oh, man, I tell you. We need to live in our true calling and our true identity and quit running away from that. Before long, they could be so far out of God's will and God's plans and so cold in God, they couldn't hear God if he were, you know, speaking through a megaphone in their ears. Because they're hard of hearing. And we don't want to become hard of hearing, saints. We want to listen to the voice of God. We want to hear the still, small voice when he speaks. And some even become bitter and unforgiving, blaming God. Listen, let God restore you quickly. Don't go around unrestored very long. I tell you, you need to do it immediately. Don't let a difficult situation or a seemingly crisis or a crisis situation cause your heart and your mind to grow cold. Don't let yourself grow cold. Enemy wants you to grow cold. He wants to work on you that way. Demons are, you know, working all the time to try to get God's people to grow cold, not stay full, to drain them out. You know, but God hasn't forgotten his promise to absolutely always take care of you. You need to remember that. He hasn't forgotten that. He can work things out. If you'll just keep trusting him and quit just panicking, freaking out over things, keep trusting him. Even if he seems quiet sometimes, just keep trusting him. God always makes good on his promises, even if it isn't when you expect them to be. I mean, no, he doesn't always do things on our timetable. I mean, no, God has a timetable, and he's going to do things on his timetable, and we're not going to make him do things on our timetable. We're not going to force God to do things. And a lot of Christians trying to force God to do something, and it isn't God's timing, and they want to force it. And listen, You're going to make God do something? Really? Hit the little tiny person down here trying to make the big God of the universe do what they want him to do? Now, God will do things that we want. If we ask him in faith, believing, and they line up with the word of God, he can do them. But that's a little different subject right now. Right now, I'm trying to help you with this, okay? God makes good on his promise, okay? And we're all right. We're all right on God's timetable, folks. We're on it, okay? He has a timetable for us, and we're all on it. So, hey, take a moment and commit your whole future life to Jesus and just trust him for your future, okay? Trust him for your future. He's going to take care of you. You know, he's going to deliver you. Those spirits don't have to stay there forever. He's going to change you. He's going to make you more Christ-like. He's going to do a good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what he promised to do, isn't it? Well, why would he do what he promised to do? Huh? Give me a reason. Give me a chapter and verse why he wouldn't. There isn't any, folks. God is working, and he will work on you. Okay? He's going to do it. Trust him. Okay? I mean, let me take this a little bit further tonight here. You know, another reason too many right now are weak and not standing strong is this. Is fear, anxiety, looking at the present circumstances of life. Hey, it's kind of hard right now. The prices are going up on gasoline, on groceries, and all kinds of other goods, because listen, it's going to go up more because diesel is priced so high, and it takes diesel to deliver the product to the store. They don't just suddenly appear in the stores. No, they have to be traveled by truck or rail. And so, yeah, I mean, things are, it's a crisis situation. It's a difficult time right now. I mean, and some people are panicking about it. Some people are looking at the future in fear and anxiety, and they're all ate up with it. And it's get to them, okay? Oh, we must be afraid. We must wear masks. We must get vaccinated. We must be very afraid of everyone. They might make me sick. Monkeypox are going to COVID-2, COVID-3, COVID-4, all this. Hey, you know what? You think Jesus is caught by surprise by any of this stuff? You think he's not big enough to deliver you from this stuff and take care of you during it all? In spite of it all? You know, do we have a big God or not? Hey, you know, Peter was out there walking on water. I mean, the word says he walked on water. Let's go over there. Just a quick point I want to bring to you about this. Matthew 14:30. Okay, let me read it to you. Hallelujah. But when he saw the wind boisterous, what happened? He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. But what you want to notice, when he saw the wind boisterous, see, when he saw, what are you seeing today? What do you got your eyes on today? When you see the high gas price, when you see the trouble in the world, when you see the pandemic, when you see all this stuff taking place, when you see it boisterous, when you see it troubling people, when you see it attacked with it, you know? Yeah, he saw. See, the devil is painting you a picture all the time for you and I to see. Oh, yeah. He's always painting pictures for us to look at. He's painting them up negative pictures to put fear, anxiety, panic. He's trying to get us to look at things. Oh, it's getting worse. We're going to just perish. Oh, it's getting so bad. What am I going to do? We're all going to die. Oh. Well, you know what? Everybody's going to die someday anyway if Jesus doesn't come first, right? So it's either die or see Jesus come in a cloud of glory. So quit letting the devil use the wind boisterous to get to you. You know, the wind of the New World Order, the wind of the globalist, and the wind of the Satanists, and the wind of the curses, and the demons that you're still carrying around in you and being home to. I mean, the wind is blowing boisterously. Yeah, and the devil's painting that picture. I mean, he wants us to look at something. High gas prices, sicknesses, fear of dying, life being changed forever, not having enough. Look at the good old days. They're gone. They're not here anymore. The fear of not surviving. The wind boisterous is very loud and very noisome, and your marriage falling apart. That's a boisterous wind. Oh, there's no hope for my marriage. Look at it. Look at it. Look at me. I've made a mess of things. Look, is there any hope? Is there any? Hey, as long as you're still breathing, sucking air, folks, you're a believer in Jesus, there's hope. God can turn things around. And he will turn things around. You put your trust in him where it belongs. Stop trusting in the stuff around you that you see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. The five senses is not your deliverer. Jesus is your deliverer. So stop looking in that realm to try to find an answer. The answer is not there. The answer is in the supernatural, the spiritual, the realm of God, the realm of heaven. Oh, yeah, but the devil wants you to keep looking at something. The wind boisterous, make you afraid, very afraid, very afraid. Get yourself in fear, 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 fear. That's how the enemy operates. Oh, my, yeah, when he saw the wind boisterous, when people see the work of Satan in the earth all around it, the work of Joe Biden's administration, of WHO, their work, the New World Order's work, I mean, he began to sink. See, you get your eyes on that death stuff, you're going to sink too. You're not told to put your eyes on these things. He said to look up, for your redemption draws nigh when you see these things come to pass. When you notice that they're happening, you put your eyes up on above things. You start looking at Jesus. You start looking at your deliverer. If you got too many demons troubling you all the time, then start looking at your deliverer. Start looking at yourself and seeing yourself and calling things that are not as though they are. Start calling yourself the delivered. When even though you know in the natural you're not delivered yet, you start calling yourself delivered. Start making them demons uncomfortable. Start telling them they have to go in Jesus' name. Start applying the blood every day. Make yourself an uncomfortable house for them. And I've told you that before, I tell you again, right? So how many are sinking because they are looking at the devils and demons and the wind blowing of the devils and demons boisterously? They're sinking. A lot of Christians have picked up and are still picking up demons of fear today because of all that's going on. They're upset, they're stressed out, they're nervous. They're more focused on the fierce, boisterous wind than they are on Jesus, the solid rock. Where are we looking today? What are we looking at? We need to put our eyes on what really matters today. Jesus is what really matters. Jesus is what's going to last forever. This stuff that you see around you, it's just a short term. The fashion of this world passes away. It's perishing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Biden will not live forever. No, yeah, in hell maybe if he don't get saved. But no, he's not going to be the president forever. Hell, this will pass. Okay? And we need to pray that when it does pass, someone righteous will get in. And it'll happen. And someone will lead people toward the Lord instead of away from the Lord. At least let people have their freedom to worship God freely without government interference and forcing the LGBTQ on them and all this other stuff that they're trying to force upon us, abortion, murder of child, all this. Hey, that's right. But see, a lot of people right now, they've let their space slip. And now they have more demons to deal with than they did before the pandemic ever started. Because they got in fear, they got worried, they got stressed, they gave in to things. They gave in to things that they shouldn't have gave into. They listened to the media, they listened to the lies and the deception, and they got fearful. I mean, no, you listen to mainstream media, it's designed to make you fearful and to subject you to what they want. It's mind control. Well, you know, the devil is going to use mind control any way he can to make people the way he wants them to be, which is ungodly, lost sinners. And if you know Jesus, they'll make you a compromiser if you keep listening to him. And you will going to a place that's not good for you to walk in. If you're listening to him and his minions of darkness, his puppets that he uses, he's got puppets on a string and he's using them. We need to be able to recognize them, lest we pick up more puppets on it. I mean, more demons in our life. Okay? Medical tyranny worked to some degree. And so people are still dying and having multiple health issues from taking the jab. I mean, it's just the numbers keep going up all the time. And so many Christians just bought into it. So many pastors bought into it and try to get their people to all take the jab. And so Satan's going to continue to use medical tyranny if he can to continue to snare the human race. So don't be surprised if you see more of this happening in one form or another. Yeah, another, you know, biological or whatever, however they have to do it, they can try to do this again. But in Jesus' name, let it fall apart. But Satan's going to continue to try to use it as long as he can get away with something. And it's effective on a lot of people. And it was. It was effective on a lot of people bought into this. A lot of people died. Yeah. Yeah, and some people have begun to sink and may continue to sink. And that's sad. That's sad. You got your eyes on the wind boisterous. Somebody got their eyes on the wind boisterous, and they're sinking still to this day. They've not recovered. I tell you. Listen to the useless banter on K-Love. You ever turn on K-Love? I tell you, some of these Christian stations, the useless banter and carrying on about stuff that really, they're not preparing Christians. They're not speaking the truth about the culture we're living in. They're not being bold as a lion. And I guess they're afraid they'll lose support because they, you know, want to play the Christian hip-hop top 40 music and think that they're really doing everybody a big favor. Really? A lot of it is not even true worship, but just entertainment, right? And so what are they doing? They're not taking a stand against the devil? Not really. I mean, it's kind of a sideshow-like thing. I mean, often simply to minister to the flesh while Christians continue to sink and be ignorant. People are perishing for lack of knowledge. I mean, instead, we're going to have to use our spiritual strength today and fight the good fight of faith, folks. I mean, who are we really? What are we looking at right now? You're looking at the wind boisterous? Are you a person that's easily overcome by the wind that blows? And the wind blows a lot in Montana and Wyoming. Maybe it blows a lot where you live, too. I don't know. But, hey, it's blowing. Are we looking at that? Are we snared by it? Or is it causing us to stumble? Is it causing us to sink like Peter did? Are we even crying out to the Lord like Peter did? Help me, save me, Lord, when he started to sink and the Lord was there. But you have to cry out first. And a lot of people aren't crying out. They just keep sinking. Don't be one of those that just keeps on sinking. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus, you are my deliverer. You are the one who will change things and take care of me in the midst of whatever crisis is out there, whatever situation, circumstances which I will face. Ephesians 1:22. Let's read some more scripture, 22 and 23 here. Hallelujah. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Who is his body? Who are you? See, we are his body. Who is he filling? Well, who are you? His body. Who is his body? We are his body. Who has he filled? You and me, at least those who will receive his filling. The problem is we keep looking at our carnality. We want to look at our flesh. We want to look at the Adamic nature. We want to look at things that are not going to cause us to grow spiritually. In fact, they'll try to rob us spiritually. You know, that thing will never get any better. You know, that flesh is no good. No good thing dwells in my flesh. That's what Paul said, right? And it's not going to get any better. You may have more restraint over it, and you may be, by the Spirit, be able to crucify it, but it won't get any better. And it knows how to have a quick resurrection, too, if you're not keeping it. Like Paul said, I die daily. I'm not going to let that thing have a dominion over me. I'm not going to let that flesh have the dominion over me. I die to it daily. But too many of us keep expecting to overcome by our carnal nature. And you don't overcome by what's carnal. You can't overcome the carnal with the carnal. You will not. You never will. But if you understand who you really are, what you really are, if you understand in God's eyes, there are no failures. In God's eyes, your sins were already dealt with on the cross 2,000 years ago. He no longer holds you accountable for your sin in that sense, because he has forgiven the sins of the whole world, right? And if you receive that and you confess it, you're definitely forgiven. The blood cleanses from how much sin? All sin, all unrighteousness, right? See, in God's eyes, you're complete in him, it says. In Colossians 2:10, what does it say? We'll read it real quick here. Turning a few pages over, Colossians 2:10. We got to get this understanding here tonight so we know who we are. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all that devil. He's above them. He's the head of all principality and power, and we're complete in him, and we have all that we need to deal with those principalities and powers and those wicked things, those wicked rulers of this world, and we should know these scriptures, but we still have trouble. We still have trouble believing them. Why is there trouble? If Jesus said it, shouldn't that be good enough for us? I mean, see, look, we will never be complete in our carnal nature. Never. Jesus is coming and we're not going to have the carnal nature anymore. But see, as long as we're living in this body, we're not going to ever be complete in that carnal nature. We're complete in him. Right? That's who we're complete in. We're complete in him. We're complete in him. Did you get that? We're complete in him. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you should know this, see? But not going to be complete in the carnal nature. Where is he today? We're complete in him, but where is Jesus? Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is he? There, he's in his temple. Where is the temple of God? Well, we are the temple of God. Now, he might just be down there, you know, not getting to manifest much and not get to do much, but he is nevertheless in his temple. If you are born again, Jesus is in his temple. Today, he is being revealed in his temple to those who would let him be revealed in the temple. Are you going to let him be revealed, or are you going to just let him lie dormant in there and keep on doing your own thing? Oh, I'm a Christian, I believe, but God ain't doing nothing. Not too much anyway. I'm not letting him. Ephesians 4:4. It says here, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, he's in us right now. Jesus is in us right now. But unto every one of us, he has given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, well, there was a big gift of Christ given, and we've been given grace. So where is he? He's in y'all, all of us. He's in us. He's in y'all. He's in his temple. And we are God's dwelling place right now. And God's removed the veil from our eyes. As he does that, we begin to walk in this reality, and we recognize that this is who we are. This is what we are. We're God-controlled people when we allow him to control us. Or we can be flesh-controlled, carnally controlled, if we yield to that. But God is there, and he's available, and its availability is there to walk in this reality, see? Amen? So you say, veils removed from my eyes? Has God removed the veils from my eyes? We begin to walk in the reality? What veils? You say, I can see. I don't have any veils. Well, how about pride? How about unbelief? How about unworthiness? How about fear? How about sin consciousness? How about a religious spirit that gives you the wrong interpretation of these things that I'm trying to teach you here tonight? How about condemnation? How about failure mentality? How about a fear of failure? How about haughtiness? How about demons, demonic veils that are put in place and generationally, and you don't even know they're there? How about that? How about your job, fear of losing your job or something? How about a self-consciousness, arrogance? Oh, Christians have many veils. What are you talking about? You don't have any veils. One of our greatest needs today is the revelation of our oneness with him. You know, we can never be one experientially until we understand that we are one. See, we don't have to try to be one. Why are you trying to be what you already are? So you don't have to try to be what you are right now. In Jesus, you are one with him. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, reminding you of that scripture. We don't have to try to be one with him. See, this is a problem. A lot of Christians, they try to be one all their lifetime. And all the while, they've been one, and they don't even know they're one because they feel so bad about themselves, their sins, their fault, their demons, their failures, their messes, and all that. And, yeah. But we try to be one in our mentality. We try to be one in our doctrines. We will never be one in doctrine until we are all fully mature. And how many Christians are fully mature today? Huh? Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Pentecostal. Is that maturity? I'm Methodist. Oh, is Jesus only letting Methodists into heaven now? Is that right? So you want to die a Methodist so you get in there? Oh, I'm sorry. When he's been allowed to be fully matured in all of us, then we will agree. But until then, all of us are at different stages and levels of spiritual growth. Every one of us is a different level and stage, And so what I see is someone less mature than me, they can't see, right? I may see it. I may understand it. But someone less mature than me, unless they're willing to be taught and understand it, they can't see it. And if they can't see it, they may be in disagreement with it, and they may think that I'm wrong and they're right. So we're not going to agree on doctrine, okay? Ephesians 4:1. Let's read. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Put up with each other, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. But the unity of the Spirit is not unity of doctrine. See, because everybody's not at the same level spiritually. How can we have the same agreement on doctrine when some people don't even know the doctrine you know? They don't even know the teaching you know yet. They haven't even grasped a hold of it yet. They're not mature enough to grasp a hold of it. See? You have Jesus Christ, and so-and-so down at First Baptist may have Jesus Christ too. And you see it one way, and she might see it a whole different way. See? Who's right? Well, both might be right, maybe. Our oneness is in his life, not in our concepts and our doctrines about God. It's in him that we have oneness. We're all one body, the body of Christ, not the multiple bodies of Christ. There's only one body of Christ, and we all have him, and we have a oneness with him because we are joined together with him, not because we have all our doctrines just the same and all our beliefs just the same, all our concepts of God just the same. No, that's not why we're one. It is a oneness, and I hate to use this word because it's been used with the woke people and all that and the liberal agenda, but we're one in diversity. It's a oneness in diversity because that's what the word means. We're very diverse, but we are nevertheless one in Christ, right? I mean, we have the Baptist, the Methodist, the Assembly of God, the Foursquare, the Jehovah, not the Jehovah Witness. They're not saved, right? But we have all these Christian denominations and divisions, and yet we're all one body, see? And we don't all have to think exactly alike or believe exactly alike. But we do need to learn to love and appreciate one another right where we are. And if we could teach others and help them along their way, we could teach them and bring them along if they're willing. But see, they may not be at that place where they can come along. They may not be ready to hear that they have a bunch of demons in them and they need deliverance. But listen, we could at least plant the thought there and they could think about it. Yeah, and some people will go home and think about it. I remember myself, when I first got handed the book Pigs in the Parlor a long, 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 long time ago, some 30-some years ago, right? It's 40 years now, I'm not sure, but it's been a long time. And I said, threw it out. I said, Christian can't have a demon, but then I began to think about it. I even took it to the Lord and began to think, hey, wait a minute, there are things in my life that aren't changing. It must be a demon. It must be, see? And I fasted, I prayed, and I'm still having some problems here. So I know that there's got to be demons. And so I began to pick it back up, and I got it, and I began to study these things and began to look, and we began to get into deliverance in our church there. in Arkansas, and we started there and haven't quit ever since. See? And that's been a long time ago, okay? A long time ago. And thank God, deliverance has saved me in so many areas that, I mean, you know, the power of getting delivered from them demons is amazing grace. Hallelujah. Okay? So again, we have a oneness in Jesus, okay? And we do need to learn to love and appreciate one another. Right where we are, right where these people are, right where you are, right where I am, you know, we can do that because we're one. And so often we think, well, just because God spoke it to me, you have to be totally believe it the same way too. No, you don't. You know, it doesn't mean you're not still one just because you don't believe it. You don't have to argue with them and fight with them. It's, you know, and I've done that before. It doesn't get you anywhere most of the time. You argue with them and disagree with them and, you know, just say, okay, well, you know what? I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And we are one in Christ. And, you know, they might not say, well, you're not one with me. And they might have all kinds of reactions. But, you know, that's their immaturity. You know? You know? Okay. But, you know, so often we think it's just because God spoke it. And how many know sometimes God didn't even speak it? Right? Yeah, it might not have been God that spoke to you. It could have been you ate too much pizza before bed. It might have been a demon or your own mind or some deceptive word from somebody, a prophetic false word or something, or a pathetic false word, I guess. You know, God's word's like an onion, just like in deliverance. You know, we're peeling off an onion. You know, we get one layer off, and then there's more layers underneath that's got to come out at another time. When you're ready to get that layer off, we peel another layer off. Well, see, God's word is like an onion. There are several layers of truth to the truth. You get one truth, and then you get more truth as you peel off another layer of that very same verse can yield a number of truths to you. Still all true, okay? And so just like in deliverance, we're getting deepened out. We're peeling off the layers, and people get more free, and time goes on. And so anyway, we should know by now that intellectual belief is what it caused a whole lot of the divisions and problems in the church today, these intellectual beliefs, you know, and figuring out how God is. And then we're going to just dictate and form a denomination that tells you how God is and how we believe God is, and that's the way it is. Well, how many know demons are involved in that? That's for sure. But we need to wake up and see that God is not interpreted intellectually, but spiritually. And as long as you're trying to interpret him intellectually, you will miss God every time. Okay? Unless it comes from the Spirit, it's not done right. See? God is interpreted spiritually. He's by revelation knowledge. The Spirit of truth will guide you into what? All truth. But the Holy Spirit does that. We don't do that intellectually. See? You know, God's going to have to bypass your mind a lot of times, you know, that intellectualism, so he can get to give you some truth so you'll believe it. See? Because that trying to figure things out intellectually and teach them intellectually will probably bring you into a greater confusion, right? See, it's the spirit, not the intellect, not the carnal mind. That's why we have Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Assembly of God, Foursquare, et cetera, et cetera. You know, intellectual, not spiritual interpretation. The carnal mind entered in. See, it's always there waiting to enter in and pollute the things of God. It's always waiting to do that. The spirit in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The spirit's there. They're going to try to corrupt that which is pure, that which is godly, that which is truth, okay? The carnal mind entered in like a form of pride, you know. I'm from Alabama. I'm from Texas. Well, I'm from Missouri. The show me state, you know. I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. You're going to have to show me, you know. Or I'm an Oregonian, you know. I'm from Oregon, you know. I'm tough, man. I'm better than all you folks. You know, or I'm a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist. You know, I'm non-denominational. See, flesh begets flesh. That's all it is. See, you got to know what you are. You're spirit. You're born of the spirit. You are spirit right now. Flesh begets flesh, more flesh. Just as the spirit begets spirit. So we have a flesh-filled church because of pride. Amen. We're supposed to be a spirit-filled church. But a lot of times what we see is a flesh-filled church, and there is a portion of a church like that. So go back and simply believe God is in you because you believed on Jesus. and start right there with no religious pollution. You got to get rid of the religious pollution. Them religious devils will pollute things so badly that there'll just be corruption taking place. You know? Guard against those religious spirits. The devil trying to be getting into this stuff for a long time and trying to pollute things. So believe God is in you. Yeah. Just believe. Simply believe God is in you because you believed on Jesus Christ, and just keep on moving from there. You don't need all kinds of religious theology. The theology is the true word of God. That's what we need. If you feed on the word of God, you're going to have the right theology, spiritual truth. And you need to know you're the temple of God, and God lives in his temple. See, then you know what you are. You're a temple, and God's living in the temple. You know who you are. You know, I'm a person that God lives in. God's living in me right now. He is changing me from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He is working in me even when I don't even hear from him, even though it seems like I haven't seen him, heard him, or nothing. He is still working on me. The Bible says he's going to work on you till the day of Jesus Christ, the day of his return. That's what it says. It says there, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise of God. You can believe that. See, that's what you are. That's what's going on inside of you. That's who you are. Amen? Be confident of this very thing. He which began that good work going to finish it. He's going to keep doing that work until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to quit on you. He's not going to stop on you. Hey, come on now, saints. Believe this stuff. This is God, okay? Oh, knowing God is in you is just the beginning. I mean, you just started to launch out now. You just started to go out to the deep. That's knowing that God is in you. And just say this to Jesus right now. Just say, Jesus, if this is true, Father, if this is true, if you could come alive in me and live in me, if you by your Spirit can infiltrate and saturate my very being, do so now, Lord. Just do it. Do it. And this will just start bringing forth the reality of God in you. You want to bring it forth? Let God bring forth his reality. Just let it come forth in Jesus' name. The reality of God in us. You know, most Christians, you know, they never have the experience of God coming alive on the inside of them. I've talked to so many that just never experienced it. And that's a tragedy, right? Because there's no reason for that. Jesus lives in every believer. If you're a true believer, Jesus lives in you, and he wants to come alive on the inside of you and bring forth that life to your whole being. See? Oh, yeah, there's a killing part that will go against the flesh too, and that's good, because Paul said, I died daily with the killing power of the Spirit, right, is what he was doing. Because you can't die to that flesh unless you do it by the Spirit of God. You can't crucify anything unless you do it with the Spirit of God, the power of God in you. That's why you need to know he's alive in there, and he wants to come forth being God. And he had come forth being God. You could start decreeing and calling things that are not as though they are. You could start declaring things by faith. Amen. And being bold as a lion, and things will start changing. Yes, things can start changing. You believe it, see? You're only limited by what you don't believe and what you do believe, see? Can bring you out of those limitations, right? Oh, my. Oh, my, 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 my. You know, so the truth is, and the truth, by the way, knowing it will set you free, that you are holy, you're unblameable, and you're irreprovable in his sight. Not in your carnal Adamic nature. No, 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 no. Not in your carnality and fleshly life. But in Christ Jesus, in Christ. Christ is holy, unblemished, undefiled. You are unblemished in your spirit right now, because Jesus won't live with filth and rubbish and sin. He doesn't live with demons. So he's living in your spirit, where the Bible says the spirit cannot sin. Where the seed of God it lives, it cannot sin, because Jesus ain't going to live with a bunch of sin in there. Right? Recognize where you stand and what you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. My, 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 my. You've got to recognize it. You've got to believe it. You've got to walk that way. You've got to think that way. You've got to talk that way. Amen? It says here, 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Well, it's talking about your spirit, because that's not true of the soul, the body, the mind, the will, and emotion, and the heart, which is connected to the spirit. But remember, Jesus, I told you last week, God the Father of spirits, not the Father of flesh. And see, if you and your born-again spirit, you will go in there. If you could go in there and see it right now, you'd see the Holy Spirit in there. If you could see spiritually and you could open yourself up right now and look into your spirit, you would see the Holy Spirit dwelling in there right now. God Almighty in your spirit. If your spiritual eyes were open and you could just go inside your spirit, huh? You would see no sin in there because the seed of God is there and it cannot sin. Unless you were to reject God and turn away from God and reject him altogether and tell him the Holy Spirit to leave, hell, like the dog that returned to the vomit, right? You can give up your salvation. You can turn away. You have that free will. You have that choice. I don't believe once saved, always saved, except in the sense that, hey, if we are always going to be saved if we continue to walk with Jesus, right? So we can be secure in that. We have security of a believer, surely. But you can walk away. You could, but you'd be a fool if you did, right? Why would somebody who tasted of the heavenly things and of the things to come even would turn away and walk away? Like it says in Hebrews, that, man, there's nothing left. There's no more salvation. There's nothing left if you do that. Because what, are you going to put Christ to an open shame, crucify him again? You can't do that. He's been crucified once. You don't strike the rock twice. That's why Moses didn't get into the promised land. He tried to strike it twice. You can't crucify Christ twice. He is not going to get struck twice. He was struck once on the cross, and he'll never be struck again. He is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, seated at the right hand of the Father in the glorious place, making intercession for you and for me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to stop here now, you know. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you accept this truth? Because if you can, you will be what you are declared to be experientially. And if you can't accept that, then you won't yet experience it. You won't. But God wants you to experience the reality of him dwelling in you. He wants you to experience what you are, truly, as he declared you to be. See? So let God fill you with himself. Yes, all of you, with all of him, today and forever, forever. Let him do it. Let God be God in you. Let yourself be the man or woman that he's called you to be. But you got to know what you are and who you are. And I'm telling you, we're just scratching the surface of this subject tonight. I mean, there's so much more. We go deeper and deeper in this. We could, because it's so much to it. There's so much revelation knowledge of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. Christ in me right now. There's no condemnation. If we don't walk after the flesh, we don't let the flesh dominate us, there's no condemnation. See, you let the flesh start dominating, you let the demons start dominating, you're going to have condemnation. You're going to be beat up by demons. But we don't do that. We walk in the spirit. We got to walk in the spirit because we have the mind of Christ. We have the availability of all that we need to be able to walk in the spirit. And we walk more and more in the Spirit, and we grow more and more in him, and we draw closer and closer by the power of the Spirit. He will draw us in if we will allow him to do that, if we will cry out for him to do that, if we will hunger and thirst for him to do that. And yes, a part of that process is getting delivered and getting free of more of that stuff that hinders us from wanting to spend time with God. I mean, I know that a lot of Christians can't even spend time with God because the demons are so thick in them. They put their bodies to sleep. They divert them to go watch TV or divert them to go visit with somebody or take care of the dog for a walk or something. Anything to distract them. Anything to get them distracted off of the things that really matter. And so if you start getting deliverance, you won't have all those distractions. You won't have all those demons trying to vie for your attention to get you away from seeking God. And that's one reason some people just don't seek God, because they're just loaded with so many devils. And I've seen that too many times over the years with people who could seek God and see their whole lives change, but they won't seek God. They won't seek until he's found. They won't knock until the door is open. They won't ask until it is given them. No, there's something that diverts them, that causes them to get off track, that causes them to quit seeking the Lord, causes them to go to sleep when they should be reading the Word, causes them to do other things when they should be taking time with Jesus and listening to the still small voice of God. All these distractions. And the more demons a person has, the more distracted they will be. So that's why we do deliverance. We get rid of those things that hinder us, that try to block us. That's one of the reasons we do deliverance. Yeah. And we're going to do some in a few minutes here, but let's go ahead and take an intermission. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. Thank you for the life in the Word. Thank you for the life that's in us. Your Word dwells in us by the Holy Spirit right now. Lord, I thank you that you're revealing more and more who and what we are. Oh, the joy of knowing who I really am. Some people search their whole lives and they never even find out who they are or what they are. They travel the whole world and chase this wind and that wind, and it all leads to vanity, all vanity, until they come to know you. Lord, we know who we are now, and we know who we belong to, and we know where you are. You set up your throne in your temple, and we are your temple. Lord, and you and we're all together, one body of Christ. Many temples. The Holy of Holies. Oh, where you are is where I want to partake of, where I want to be, Lord. Make that reality sink in, Lord. Let it be a day of freedom, a day of liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God, as we recognize the truths from heaven. We'll never live another condemned day in our life. We'll never live another day of condemnation and sin consciousness. And again, in our lives, because we know the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of people don't want to believe that either. I got to go get saved again every week, get saved at the altar. Lord, have mercy on them. Open up the eyes of their understanding. In the family one minute, out of the family next Sunday, you got to get in the family again. No. We're still the body of Christ. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, we have a promise. We can believe the promise. Thank you for the promises, Lord. Thank you for taking us deeper, Lord, giving us greater understanding, Lord. Lord, we live in that promised land living right now. Even in the midst of crisis and chaos in the world, we could still live into that promised land living. There's a place that the world cannot go because they don't know you. But we can go there, and we can be partakers of it. And it is glorious, Father, glorious. We thank you for that tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit and the moving of your Spirit right now, right here. And let's release it to every listener, Father, that they will cry out for you. You're going to give them more. You're going to visitation with them in great ways, Father. Perhaps a way they've never had visitations before from you, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that they'll just cry out more and more and more. They'll see your goodness. They'll see your greatness. They'll see your presence in their life, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for doing great and wonderful things in this hour that we live in. Even though it looked all bad in the natural, it's not all bad. Jesus is moving. Jesus is still on the throne. God's still in us. We got power. We got the power of God. We don't want to let the rubbish and the decay take place. No. We'll walk in the power long as we live by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be right back to do some deliverance.
Call upon you. as long as I live.
All right, folks, let's go ahead and do some ministry of deliverance here. Allow Jesus to set you free some things from some things tonight. You know, maybe you've just been on performance. Your Christian life has been a life of performance. I got to do this. I got to do that. Always feeling like you just got to do all these things, and you're living a performance-based Christian life. And God never called you to that. That's something that people do carnally and think that that's pleasing to God. And that's not what God called you. He called you to a life of faith, not a life of performance. The just shall live by faith, not by performing. Remember that. Don't forget that. Okay, so we command that spirit of performance to come out right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, come out. That spirit of religious performance or performing, always trying to do what you think God wants you to do and performing your walk. Until you wear yourself out with performance. We command that performance to go right now. We break the curse of that religious performance. You come out in Jesus' name right now. In the name of Jesus, you loose the people. Let them go. Come out. 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 All that performance. All that religious performance. You got to go. Come all the way out. Out, 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 out. All the way out. All that performance. Got to perform for God. I got to be this. I got to do this. I got to get better. I got to make myself better. I got to fix me. You can't. Come on. Jesus can, though. Come out of there. All that performance. Go, go, go. Keep coming out. All the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that. All the way out. All that denominational spirit that, well, I'm this, and I can never be anything but this. Where'd you get that? Okay, come out of there right now. All the way out. All that religious denominational spirit, come out, 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 come out. All that denominational spirit, come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Fear of the future, come out. Come on, fear of the future, fear of what's coming on the earth. Come out, fear, fear, come out, 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 come out. All that fear of the future, fear of the things coming upon the earth. Come out, all that fear, you got to go. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them and let them go. The fear of the future, fear of things coming on the earth. Come out in Jesus' name, come out all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Panic attacks. Come out. Panic attacks. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way. All those panic attack spirits. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Panic attack. Gotta go. Got to go all the way out. Come out. Panic attack. Spirits of worry. Worry about this. Worry about that. Worry about your salvation. Worry. Worry, worry, worry. Come out. All that worry spirit. Worry about the family. Worry if they're going to serve God. Worry if they're going to get it together. Worry about the things they're going through that you hear about. Come out. Come out. Come out. Worry about your children. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that worry. Come out. Come out. Come out. Just give them to Jesus, folks. Give them to Jesus. Jesus is big enough to take care of them. You can't fix them. God's going to have to fix them. Come out. All the way out. All that worry. Come out. All that worry. Are we the Holy Spirit? No, we're not the Holy Spirit. Got to remember that. Jesus, God is the Holy Spirit. He's not. We're not the Holy Spirit. He's going to do the work. Amen. He can redeem us. He can do things we could never even think to do. And he has many times. We've seen him do those miraculous things. Putting families together, fixing families, fixing marriages. Yeah, God can fix your marriage. God can do things in your marriage. If you yield to him and do what he tells you and do it by the power of the Spirit, then he can work out your marriage even. And he can deliver you from the demons that have messed up your marriage. He can give you hope when there is seems to be no hope. That hopelessness, you come out, come out, come out, come out. Hopelessness, hopelessness. All the hopeless spirits come out in Jesus' name. Said it'll never change, never get better. Come out. come out, 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 come out. We break it. Break the control of these spirits. Come out. In the name of Jesus right now, keep coming out all the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Derailment. Being derailed in your spiritual life. There's demons that try to derail you. There's a derailment spirit that has tried to derail you from staying on the straight and narrow and keeping on the walk that God has for you. That derailment, you have to go right now. Come out. Derailment. Come out. Come out. That derailing spirit. Come out of there right now. Try to derail you. Try to derail people off of their walk with God. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirit of derailment, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out in Jesus' name. That derailment, come out. Come out. Derail you from your walk with God. Derail you from getting closer. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out in Jesus' name. Go, all that derailment. Thank you for delivering me, Lord. Just tell him, thank you, Lord, that this is gone. In Jesus' name, it's coming all the way out, gone. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out. Come on out. Move in Jesus' name. Go. 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 In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Break the curses in Jesus' name. All the way out. We break these judging curses that come on you for judging people. We break that curse of judgment. Judge not lest you be judged. You judge the righteous. You have no business judging the righteous unless they're walking unrighteously. And God says that, you know, if a brother claims to be doing right and he's, you know, committing fornication or adultery or this, that, the other, and he's not repenting, not stopping, then you got to confront that. You got to judge that. You got to deal with that. But if you're just judging people because you just feel like judging people and there's no basis for that judgment, you Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You could bring yourself in a world of trouble by doing that. You could open up judgment to come on you of what you judge others for. So we break that curse over you. Have mercy on them, Lord. We command those spirits of judging to go in Jesus' name. Come out all the way out. Come out that judgment, spirit of judgment. Come out all the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, go. All that spirit of judging others, come out. Come out, 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 come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name, that spirit of marriage curse on marriages to just get divorced. That we break that marriage curse. That maybe you should look at people you married to see if anybody in their family line has been divorced. If that's been an ongoing problem, you're going to have to deal with a marriage curse, a divorce curse, that is. You know, if there's been a lot of divorce in that family, and then you realize that the enemy's going to attack your marriage, try to get you to divorce too. So you break that marriage curse, break that divorce curse. We break it in Jesus' name. Command those demons to go in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. Yeah, you, before you marry anybody, you got to examine some things there. You got to look at some things because you don't know what you're getting into. And I know you're not going to find a perfect male or a perfect female, you know. But you still, you know, can avoid some problem by looking at things, right? And seeing if you got somebody that's family line is full of divorces and breakups and marriage problems, you sure you want to marry into that, right? And if you had that in your life, then you need deliverance. You need to break the curses, right? So we break those curses over marriages right now. Break those curses of divorces and marriage-breaking spirits. We come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. Everybody cough a few times if you have it. All the way, let it go. All the way out, let them go. Keep coming out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, you have to go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. The spirit of the love of money, you come out. I just saw it in my mind, the love of money, the root of all evil. There's a spirit, the love of money. Some of you love money. That spirit's got to go, the love of money. We cannot love money. God give us money, and we could use money, but we better not love it, because if we love it, then there's a demon called the love of money and other demons that work with it to come in. So come out, the love of money, come out, 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 come out. All that spirit of the love of money, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. Come out. The love of money. The love of money. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We break the fear of cancer off of people right now. In Jesus' name. The fear of cancer. All the way out. You go right now. The fear of cancer. Come out. Come out, come out. For God to give you a fear of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Come out, 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 all the way out. Fear of cancer, fear you're going to get it, fear that it's going to come on you, fear that you already have it, all that fear of cancer. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out, the blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out all the way out. The blood is against you, demon. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Up and out. Up and out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out of there. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus right now against these demons, this spirit of numbness, having numbness in your mind and numbness in your body. You come out, both kinds of numbness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The spirit of making you numb to things, numb. Come out, come out, come out, come out, and having numbness somewhere in your body. You're feeling numb. You have no feeling there. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, that spirit of numbness, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there, that spirit of aloneness too, you come out, try to keep you alone, keep you separated, alone all the days of your life, you just, even though you have people around you, that aloneness is there, so you feel alone, come out in Jesus' name, even, and even if you do have people or you don't have people around you, that spirit can be there. So that aloneness, go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Friendless spirit, not having a friend, a friendless spirit that tries to keep you without any friend. Come out, that friendless spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. We break the curse of being friendless, not having any friend, not able to get any friend. We break that curse of being friendless. Come out. Come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out, come out in Jesus' name. We break a generational curse of that too, all the way out, that aloneness, friendless, come out in the name of Jesus, all the way out, all the way out, go in the name of Jesus now, move in Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there, up and out in Jesus' name, up and out in Jesus' name. All that passivity, come out, that spiritual passivity. Well, I don't care. This whatever happens, happens. Come out, all that passivity, not wanting to get involved, not wanting to take a stand, not wanting to be bold. That's just passive. We'll just let it all, just let the whole world go to hell if they want to. I don't care, you know, whatever. Come out, all those passive spirits, those passive spirits. No, the Church of God says the violent take the kingdom by force. We're not passive. Come out, 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 come out. The Word says that. Come out all the way, all that passivity. Come out, come out, spiritual passivity. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. That rubbish spirit, that decay spirit, go. All that rubbish, all that decay, come out. Come out. I know there might be a lot of rubbish and spirits involved in rubbish, but we'll just cast those two names out since we mentioned them tonight, and the Scripture mentions them too. Come out, all the way out. All that rubbish, all that decay, go. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. The decaying spirit. Come out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All the way out. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way. That spirit of block prosperity. That spirit that block you prosperity. Block you from being blessed. Block you from being prosperous. Come out. Come out. That spirit of block prosperity. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Block prosperity. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Keep going. Keep moving. In the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, the Lord, we rebuke these demons in Jesus' name. Yes, they have to go. Chase and persecute these demons. Go, go. Block prosperity. Block blessing. Those spirits of blessing blockers, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Prosperity blockers, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go all the way out. Come on. Move, 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 and keep moving. Come out. Come out all the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Growth on your body. Anything that's causing growth on your body, put your hands on your growth. We command that growth to disappear and be gone in Jesus' name. All that growth to go right now and disappear in the name of Jesus. The spirits that are causing the growth, you come out of there right now. And the growth be gone in the name of Jesus. Be healed if there's something that needs healing too in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All those unsightly growth, all those growth in the body that shouldn't be growing there. Go, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there. They're little growth demons. They're trying to grow things on your body. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. All the little spirits that are operating in there like that. Try to grow little marks on your body or little humps or lumps or balls or whatever, you go in the name of Jesus. Go, come out, come out. Unsightly things, go in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 all the way out in the name of Jesus. All those growths have to go in the name of Jesus. All those spirits behind the growth, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go. We cast you out in the name of Jesus right now. Arrested development, you come out. Well, you're still just a little boy or a little girl in certain areas of your life because your growth process got arrested by a demon and you quit growing. And we just command those spirits of arrested development to come out right now. Arrested development, go, come out, 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 come out. Breathe them out. Let them go all the way out, all the way out. All the way. Cough a few times. Get them all the way out. Every bit of it. Yawn, cough, sigh, burp, spit. You know, just let it go. All of it. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Yeah, we've had people that just sat over the bucket and spit out phlegm the whole time of their deliverance. I mean, just for several hours before. Just spitting up phlegm. Where's all that phlegm coming from? Yeah, demon. That's where it's coming from. It's demonic. Yeah. This hours of just staying over the garbage can and throwing out phlegm, green stuff, and get rid of demons. Hallelujah, you know. But let them go. However they're coming out, just let them go. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this deliverance time that we've had together today. And seal this deliverance to those who have received. And, Lord, continue to deliver us as we grow in grace and truth and knowledge of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, fill us up to overflowing tonight. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for that. Worship you, Lord, God Almighty. Bless us with your fullness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening, folks. By the way, we did not produce a newsletter in the month of May. Hopefully, we'll get it done the first week of June. We were running behind a month, but we just had so much going on that we were not able to get that done. So we will hopefully get it done for June, and June and July issue will come out soon, you know, in a week or so, hopefully. The first week of June, that is. Sometime, Lord willing, we're working on it. So praise God. We love you, appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. And you have a blessed weekend. Be full of Jesus, seek his face, and give more of him all the time. Just worship him. You got the time, worship him. And, you know, he'll bless you. His presence will come. You keep worshiping him. It's good. It's good to be in the presence. And listen, the Bible says the Lord is our comforter too. Let him comfort you. You need comfort. We all need comfort at times. Let him be your comfort too. He's going to do that. And then we can comfort others with the comfort we receive. What the word says can happen. Comfort us, and we'll comfort someone else. And it'll just keep going, hopefully. You know? Amen. Amen. So receive comfort from him. You need comfort today. Let him do it. And he will comfort you. He is your comforter. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's just plenty of hope in him. Now, let's keep that hope going too. Hope in him, and let that faith be exercised. Amen. And have hope in him. I don't know, maybe you didn't hear me then. I said I wasn't connected the way I should have been there. Sorry. But let that faith be in him. And faith in what you hope for. And faith is the substance of faith, hope for the evidence of things not seen, right? So start believing those things that haven't been seen that you believe will manifest. Don't give up. Easy to give up, but the enemy resists those who keep standing in faith, doesn't he? Well, we're going to keep standing. Amen? Amen. Love y'all. Good night now. We'll see you next Friday, Lord willing. Amen. Bye-bye now.